Good morning. I am Commissioner Deanna Keller, Port of Tacoma President, calling to order a regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on September 19th, 2023. The time is now 10 o'clock a.m. Also present are Commissioners Aang, John McCarthy, Dick Marzano, and Don Meyer, so we have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulous Center and is being streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. The commission will now recess into an OPMA-exempt closed special order of business to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement until 10:30 a.m. And then the commission will recess into an executive session to discuss two items of potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I, one property selling leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C, and one item of potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I, and property selling leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C. And then I'm going to have Executive Director Eric Johnson introduce the next.
Thank you, President Keller. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. The factors that are allowed to be discussed during an executive session that relate to real estate are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and consistency with the port's strategic plan. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Commission President Deanna Keller. We are going to extend executive session for 15 minutes, so we'll be back in public session at 12:15. Good afternoon. This is Commission President Deanna Keller. The time is now 12:15 p.m. We were in executive session from 10:33 to 12:15 to discuss two items of potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110. sub 1 sub I, one property selling leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C, and one item of potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I, and property selling leasing item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub C. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We acknowledge that we are on the traditional homelands of the Puyallup tribe. The Puyallup people have lived on and stewarded these lands since the beginning of time and continue to do so today. We recognize that this land acknowledgement is one small step toward true allyship, and we commit to uplifting the voices, experiences, and histories of the indigenous people of this land and beyond. The next item we have is approval of the agenda. Item number two, is there anyone who would like to make a change to our posted agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Next is the Executive Director's Report, and I'm going to call on Executive Director Eric Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a couple of brief remarks. This is our fourth meeting of the month, so I don't have a lot more to add that I haven't already told you, but I do have three things that I want to mention. First is that we're wrapping up our summer public outreach program. After a lot of farmers markets and a very successful boat tour, our final event is coming up on the last day of September, September 30th. We have our Touch a Truck event, which is a great way for kids and adults too, for that matter, to come and get to meet folks who move big equipment. And so that's always been a popular thing, and it's at the Port Administrative Parking Lot on September 30th. If you want to volunteer, we're always looking for help, and contact Katie Skelton in our Government Affairs Department, and she can set you up. Number two, I want to announce that we have a new director has been hired at the port, our director of port security. His name is Colin Millen, and he is here today. He's in the front row. I saw him right there. There he is in the front, right there in the front left. He comes to us from the Bank of America, where for the last 15 years he's been the director of security for Bank of America for this whole region. I think it was like 14 states or something to that effect, everything north of Los Angeles and west of Minnesota. Prior to that, he was a commissioned law enforcement officer on the East Coast, and so he brings, he's a local fellow. He's lived in Fircrest for the last 15 years and considers Pierce County his home. So welcome him to the port, and we're excited to have him. He just began last Wednesday, so he's not even a week into the job. And then finally, on a sad note, I do want to note that we had a very nice service for Ralph Close, Port's real estate attorney, last week. Ralph, as you know, passed away earlier this year. And the memory book for his family, his brother and sister flew out for the event to the port, which was nice. And the memory book, which we're collecting, is here. I've got it here at the front. If you want to sign it, we're going to send that off to his family. So I'd encourage you to sign it if you could. Ralph was a great guy. We miss him. And I'm done.
Great. Thank you very much. That brings us to our next agenda item, which is public comment. And as a reminder, comment time is limited to 3 minutes per person. And don't be surprised if the commission doesn't respond to you. We typically don't do that, but we will respond later to all those who did comment in public. So don't feel like you're being ignored. So we have some people on a sign-up sheet, and I think the first person up is Mike Kisak from ILWU Local 22.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Mike Kisak, Local 22 president. Last week we had a vote of contract proposal from the port that we weren't too happy with. I think you got the executive minutes today. The vote went down 72 against 3-4. So, you know, we're not asking for a whole lot. We're just trying to keep even with the way cost is up. I mean, everything has gone up over the past couple of years, and we're here every single day. And it's just ridiculous what the port's trying to do. You know, rent increases for City of Tacoma, this is just for Pierce County, Tacoma, you know, it's up almost 15%. Housing prices are up 11.8. All the utilities, TPU, electrics, 3.5. Water's 4%. Groceries are up almost 20% in the past 2 years alone. Gas has almost doubled, and we're just trying to keep even. Hopefully you guys will get together and meet with us and have a chat with the bargaining team and get this thing resolved and taken care of. This has been going on too long, and we need whatever help we can possibly get. So that's all I've got to say for now.
Thank you, Mike. Yep. Next up is Captain Dax Coho.
Thank you. I'd like to point out to Lewis Cooper, pillar of the community. The Port of Tacoma has no idea what he has done for the port, and Local 22 actually wouldn't be where they're at without Lewis. So thank you. Getting back to Local 22 stuff, we rejected a pretty terrible contract. You know, 6% first year, that isn't even close to what inflation is. My gosh, last time I came and spoke here, it was about 2 months ago, I could buy fuel for $4.50 instead of $5.50. Things are going up quickly, really, really, really quick. We need to address those problems. I'm calling on you as the commissioner and the director of Port of Tacoma to provide some latitude and leadership to come to the bargaining table ready to make some good, make a good contract, a good proposal. We're seeing some really neat stuff in the labor community. I don't know if you guys paid attention to the United Auto Workers, but they're asking for the real deal. They're looking for stuff to bring them back into a competitive workers economy. So thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Jonathan Hemmert, also with Local 22.
Hi, I've been a member of the Port of Tacoma track crew for the last 16 years. I've had a couple terms as shop steward, a couple terms as business agent for Local 22. Working at the Port of Tacoma has been an excellent opportunity for myself and for my family. And it's not something that I take lightly. It's a good job. It's been historically a good job. You've heard and you're going to continue to hear about the cost of living and inflation and all those things. And you know, you're gassing up at the same places we are, you're shopping at the same stores we are, and buying eggs at the grocery store just like we are. What you might not know is what it is that we actually do in the maintenance department. In my 16 years, I've never seen any out on the tracks or out on the pier, with maybe an exception. And so I just want to touch on the work that we do, particularly on the facilities maintenance side. The equipment side is pretty well documented, that we have a one-to-one comparison with Local 23 and the work that they do. And our equipment people are sort of doing the same work on strads and whatnot. But what do? We have a plumbing crew that keeps the water running at the port, the toilets flushing. They keep the vessels supplied with ship service water. They maintain the fire and sprinkler systems. We have carpenters that maintain the building assets from the roof to the doormats to the door locks, everything in between. They install the security fencing. They prep the properties for new tenants. They repair the properties after the tenants are done doing what they do to them. We have electricians that keep the power on. They maintain the lights in the buildings, in the rail yards, on the piers, and in the waterway. We have lights out there that they maintain. The air conditioning in here, the security systems all over the port, our people are responsible for that. The track crew maintains over 70 miles of port-owned rail infrastructure. We keep the trains on the tracks. We keep cargo moving. We operate heavy equipment. We do grading work, asphalting work, heavy equipment work. Our Envirotechs, they run the garbage truck, street sweeper, vector truck. They ensure the stormwater compliance with the permits that we have, and they handle our hazardous spill response. And last but not least is the grounds crew, which are often cast as an overpaid lawn service, or that they mow lawns or something. But they're actually responsible for noxious weed control, invasive species control. They operate heavy equipment alongside us, prepping lots to support the auto and shipping customers. And they clean up all manners of hazardous waste left behind by the community and by the industry down here. And I know I'm out of time, but all these things are cogs in a watch. They're parts that work together, and some are bigger and some are smaller. But if you take one out, the whole thing doesn't work. And it's all important, and everything we do here is important. And I hope you see it that way. And I hope that you give direction to the port to come with a fair and equitable contract for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Next up, we have Jeanette Twitty. You did sign up for public comment, so.
Oh, did I? Oh, gosh. I thought I was just signing in. I thought it was just a sign-in roster. But just to introduce myself, my name is Jeanette Tweedy, and I'm running for Port Tacoma Commissioner, position number 3. So I'm not here to do a presentation. I thought I actually just signed the roster to sign in.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello, everybody.
All right, next up is Jairus Bernays.
Jairus Brenneyes, ILWU Local 22 business agent. I want to elaborate a little bit on what John said, but add to it, because during bargaining, we were asked by the ports bargaining team to make sure we talked with the commission about comparables. So we've talked a lot about comparables during negotiations. The port did their own study outside and brought their comparables for what the work the Local 22 does, and we've seen those. We had Local 23 share some of their thoughts on things, and now we've seen a ratified contract with Longshore on the coastwide side. So you guys know what that one is. I just want to let you know that the IAM, who works at the SSA terminal in Seattle, are ratifying a deal right now, and they are getting close to a 19% raise year one. It's over 35% over 5 or 6 years. And so I just want to let you guys know that when we have comparables like that, we know that it doesn't apply to our entire local, but when we have comparables that are that direct and we're seeing them every day, and the port offers us 18% over 5 years in this economy and with these pressures on the worker, I think that's why you're going to see the vote you got. And I really hope that we can turn this around now before it has to go further down the line with a lot more headache for both sides. And so I just implore the commissioners to really think twice about their directive to the bargaining team as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jairus. Are there any others in the audience who would like to speak? Okay, thank you all for coming forward, and we will get back to you. So this concludes the public comment portion of our meeting, and this brings us to our consent agenda. And items on the consent agenda are considered routine and taken by one motion and vote unless any commissioner requests an item be removed for individual consideration. The consent agenda consists of approval of the minutes, September 5th, 2023, and September 7th, 2023, and approval of the check certification from August 4th, 2023 to September 11th, 2023. Are there any requests to remove items from the consent agenda? Okay, so I need then a call for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second. Commissioner Meyer and then Commissioner Marzano. Thank you. It has been, are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Before we proceed to commission actions, we'd like to mention a few housekeeping items. Hold questions until the end of staff presentations. And I don't believe that there are any, so I think we're in good form there. So we'll move on to item number six, commission actions. This is the business section of the meeting where items are brought forth by commissioners or staff that require a commission vote. So the item number A is Proclamation 2023-05-PT Hispanic Heritage Month, and I'd like to call on Commissioner Ng and Sean Egan.
Thank you, Commissioner Keller. I'm happy to push forward the recognition of National Hispanic Heritage Month this September. And I'll read what we put forth. Whereas in honor of, I'll just read the proclamation and then we'll go through this. Whereas in honor of 500 years of Hispanic cultural contributions and in recognition of its evolution into the future and the continuation of the culture, and whereas in recognition that Hispanics in the New World descended from Native Americans whose indigenous civilizations developed and thrived thousands of years before Christopher Columbus reached the Americas, and whereas they joined with Europeans and Africans over five centuries to create a people unique to the New World to reflect the joining of races and cultures, and whereas Hispanics continue to enrich Pierce County and Washington State communities with the cultural, educational, and political influence of their culture, and can be seen and appreciated in all aspects of our life, from farm worker struggles for housing and equal wages, to incredible and gifted artists, professionals, vibrant businesses, music, and community festivals, and whereas National Hispanic Heritage Month was created to showcase and highlight Hispanic contributions throughout our nation, and as a reminder that Hispanics have been part of the history of this nation since the beginning. And whereas 12% of the population residing in the Port of Tacoma Port District are of Hispanic descent, and whereas nearly 63 million Hispanic Americans live in the United States, and through their actions make America a more vibrant, prosperous, and secure nation. Now therefore, the Port of Tacoma recognizes September 15th, 2023 through October 15th, 2023 as National Hispanic Heritage Month and calls upon the people of Pierce County to recognize the achievements of the Hispanic Latino community and to celebrate the great diversity of the American people.
Thank you, Commissioner Ng. So I'd entertain a motion and a second. Oh, the motion would be Commissioner Ng.
I'll second.
And Commissioner McCarthy for the second. Any comments by commissioners? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you. So item number seven, special order of business, and we have a very special person that we need to honor, and for that I'm going to turn that over to Executive Director Eric Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. We're here today to honor a longtime employee of the Port of Tacoma who is retiring, Mr. Lewis Cooper. I believe you all know Mr. Cooper. He's been here for almost 20 years. He's had a variety of different positions at the port, ranging from maintenance to risk management, and finally in security. He's also been a leader in the port for diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. He's taught us all a ton. He's led our United Way campaign for years. And he's been just kind of in some ways the conscience of the port in the community. He's been a leader in reaching out to the city of Tacoma and the city of Fife and the county on a variety of areas related to addressing homelessness issues here in the Tide Flats. He's been looked up to by a lot of people at the port, including me. And I just want to honor him, give him a chance to make a few remarks, and then I will tell you that we're going to take a photograph of him with you, if we can, if you're okay with that, which we will turn into an award for him after we get it developed and stuff. We'll put it in a frame that he can have at his house, because that's how much he means to us. So I would, is he here? I'm assuming he's here.
Yeah, sure. He's the cool guy in the back
of the room. He's hard to hide, in my experience. I always know when he's in the room, although I didn't see him just now. There he is. Mr. Cooper, please, can you take the podium and make some remarks? And I'm sure the commission are going to want to say some things as well.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Director Johnson. I would first like to ask you to honor my glasses. I have a little bit of photophobia going on with light, so please, I'm not trying to be cool. I am cool.
You're very cool.
That goes without saying. But I have to wear it today. But first and foremost, I need to introduce my family. I don't have them all here, but I want to introduce first and foremost my lovely wife, who's been with me for 34 years, Dawn. Baby. And then I want to introduce my son, Xavier. My youngest daughter, Keisha. And my oldest daughter, Laura Proctor. Thank you so much for this honor. I appreciate the opportunity to just say a few words. This has been a long journey. I want to first acknowledge ILW 22 and 28. 22 helped me cut my teeth in the maritime industry. Oh, those guys were pretty tough on me when I got there, but we learned to get along, and it's been a long journey. And I have to also acknowledge security and acknowledge people like John Wolf and even Tim Farrell, who appointed me as the chief operating officer at one point. And some of the relationships we had with 23 and the ones I have today have been part of the relationship building with also the maritime industry as well as the community at large. And I do acknowledge there are a lot of people in the community that have helped me develop that relationship for the port with the community. Many of them could not make it today, but that's okay. Their spirits are here with me, and I acknowledge their support for the last 18 years, and I acknowledge the support of the people in this room for me having the successful career that I had. So thank you for the last 18 years, and I guess that's all I have to say, unless you have questions for me.
Well, I have a feeling that your commissioners are going to want to say some things to you and about you as well. Who would like to start?
Well, I'll just start off then. Lewis, and we go way back. Eric made a comment about the conscience of the port, and you have been ever since I've known you. You've exposed and told the port on different things. You never held back. It made us all better because of it. And knowing you, I know for a fact, has made me a better person. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss your leadership. Your friendship will stay with me forever. And I just want to thank you for all the work that you've done.
Mine too, Commissioner. Thank you so much.
Commissioner Ng?
Sure. Thank you so much, Lewis. I must say that you were really one of the first persons to welcome me at the port 4 years ago, and now you're trying. I'm really sad and going to miss you.
Well, I'm going to miss you too.
Yeah, and you know, you are our inspiration and push for our diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility at the port to change culture for the better here. As well as I know that I am going to see you around Tacoma and Pierce County, because you have been doing tremendous work across our county here at the port, but also I know you've been part of United Way,
yes,
part of the banks, part of the American Leadership Forum. So your leadership goes well beyond the port, but you represent the Port of Tacoma very well. You are the best of the best, and I'm glad when you are at those boards representing Port of Tacoma, we shine because of you. So thank you so much for, what, 18 years?
Yes.
18 years here, and feels like a lot more, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner Ng.
And Lewis, I know that you and I didn't get a chance to work together for a long time, but it seems like I didn't see you much at the Port of Tacoma because we don't have offices here as commissioners, but I saw you in the community all the time, and I know that we've bumped into each other several times, and I think we talked about workforce development items throughout the community, and it was great to be able to bounce things off of you and to also be introduced to other community members as well. And you'll be sorely missed, and I hope you come around often so that we can give you a hug and see what you're doing in your retirement. You can run for office like all of us.
No, no, I'm not doing that, Commissioner.
Yeah, right?
Not interested.
There you go.
I think his wife back there will have something to say about that.
Right. I mean, she already has something to say about the other boards I'm serving on and the other things I'm doing. So no, that ain't gonna happen.
But thanks for all of your public service. You've been a great public servant.
Thank you.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Luz, just to echo some of these comments. First of all, thanks for bringing your family here today. That's fantastic. Really happy to have you here. And now in retirement, I was going to say maybe you'll have some more time to spend with spouse and other. However, I know how committed you are to this community, and you've been a great example, a great representative for the port. When you're involved, they see you as an active member of that organization as well as a representative of the port. So you've stood for all of us in an exemplary fashion. You've been honest and respectful and polite and just a good person to talk to about any issues. So congratulations for all your work. Congratulations in your retirement. And I look forward to continuing to see you out in the community on various endeavors.
Thank you, Commissioner McCarthy.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Keller. Well, I've got two things to say about you, Lewis. Number one, thank you personally, because when I first became a commissioner, I was trying to get off some boards, commissions, if you remember.
Yes.
And you stepped right up to the plate, and you helped me in terms of an organization, nonprofit organization, that I felt strongly about. You not only stepped in, but I think you helped them in a variety of ways far beyond what I could do. So I want to say personally thank you for that, because I think it reflects your attitude of, it isn't just about the Port of Tacoma. I think you, when I see you, I think of a broader community. And that to me, I think, has always been a central part of your life and your endeavors.
Yes.
The final thing though, is I will kind of miss that WSU Cougar license plate.
Go Cougs.
And go I'll just bet you that will never change.
No, it won't change. I got two Cougs in the family, so that'll never change.
That's what I kind of suspected, because you every time you started talking about Cougars, you beamed.
Yes.
And there's a reason. I think it's all about family.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And you viewed the community as family, and you supported your family, and you could always tell when you got into that conversation, you beamed. So congratulations on your retirement. Thank you for what you did for us in a broader sense, not only here at the Port of Tacoma, but for your contributions overall. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Joe, tell us where to go.
We'll do a couple pictures if that's all right. I'm going to do one for Mr. Cooper and all the commissioners, and I'm going to bring your family.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to mention anything about the bears.
Joe, and Joe, you'll be up here in a minute, too.
One, two, three. One more time. Ready? One, two, three.
Hey, Joe, can we get the family up here too?
We'll do this, then we'll do the family, and then awesome. I'm going to open up to everybody in the room who wants to come up.
Sure. Just because
we're here. So I think we're good with this set. Okay, I'm going to grab your family.
Okay,
thank you. Does the family want to come up and take a picture with the commission in the post, please?
Nope.
I got a no from the back row. Oh, no. No, they're coming. I
think
they were joking. Yeah, I'm gonna have the commissioners step this way, and we'll just put family in. So the commission on the outside, family on the inside.
He's tall. He's also still the man.
Which ones are the cool ones?
We find room for you. All right. So we see. Right there, looks great. All right, eyes right here, ready, one, two, three. One more time, ready, one, two, three. One, two, three. There you go.
Can I get, I don't know, is there any up here?
Yeah.
For sure, because they are part of the family.
For sure. Agnes, Jody, anyone else?
What?
Agnes and Jody, come on up.
Come on, Jody, you're fine.
Jody, you're fine.
Come on up here, please.
You look fantastic.
This has been a fun meeting. Thank you so much, Jody.
I like how Agnes slides on the end.
You're good right here, ready, one, two, three. Do it one more time, ready, one, two, three.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
Wait, look.
Wait.
We're gonna see.
I'm gonna contact you.
Congratulations.
We'll get you those pictures.
Take care, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you.
It was a real pleasure.
It was a pleasure working with you.
We will see you around.
Starting to be the long time. I mean, I'm starting to know all these retirees. Faces, I'm the old face now.
Well, I don't know, I still think he's gonna run for office someday, so. Okay, so moving on to item number 8, which is new business and a non-action item. Do any commissioners have another non-action new business item they'd like to discuss or move forward as an action item to the next meeting? Seeing none, we're gonna move on to committee reports, and item A is the DEI work group update, and I'm gonna call on Commissioners Ang and Marzano on this one.
Well, just very quickly, I'll give you a little bit of update. We probably had over 10 meetings, closer to 12 so far. We have meetings every month, and right now we're working towards developing a plan. And to give you a little example, we got I got a couple examples of plans in the mail. One was from the port of San Francisco, which is over 100 pages with regards to the DEI program. We're hoping to have one developed by the end of the year. One of the things we've learned is that this committee is not going away. This committee is gonna be ongoing. Players will change, members will change, but it's gonna be a continued work in progress from now until the end of time, as far as I know. But it's been all good. I wanna thank the many volunteers that devotes their time and efforts to making this a full committee. And it's been really good. We've got delved into a lot of the issues, and like I said, what we're hoping to do is by the end of the year is have some outline of a plan of how we want to move forward.
Great. Commissioner Ang, did you want to say anything?
Oh, like Commissioner Marzano was saying, in the port, we like concrete plans with metrics. And I do want to thank a few people in this room that are part of the committee, whether Aaron Galino, Carol Bua, and Helen Hickman here. And, you know, in terms of our goals, we have some draft goals about making the Port of Tacoma a place of opportunity and successful for all. A workforce built on equitable policies and practices where every individual feels valued and supported. And we are a respectful, inclusive, safe, and welcoming place to work, eliminating racial disparities in policies, practices, decisions, and recruit and retain the best workforce possible. And serve our entire community in an equitable manner. There's a lot of other things. We got a lot of goals. We have an ambitious committee. Yep. But like I said, it is our port culture where we want metrics and concrete goals. And that's what we'll be working on in the latter half of the year.
And if I could just add real quickly, this is an example. This is from Beaverton, Oregon, one of the plans. And this one is from the Port of San Francisco.
Wow. Questions or comments from commissioners? thank you both so much for serving on this committee and all the staff who are serving on it. I think this is something that is really a long time in coming, and I'm glad that we're digging into it and that we're going to be providing some metrics with it as well that we can report out to our community. So thank you. Item B, workforce development. And I'm going to call on Commissioner Ng. Both Commissioner Ng and I serve on this committee as well.
Well, first, I'd like to thank my whole commission for passing the workforce development funds for the augmented reality welding, as well as removing barriers for the certification fees for the and collaborating with the Pierce County Skills Center and Clover Park Technical in our last meeting. And this is building upon that. This is the RFP that we had one originally, a $100,000 RFP that was sent out on February 3rd. And this is so that we could provide youth and career pathways training through paid internships or work experiences in the areas of the building trades, manufacturing trades, maritime and logistic trades, and the environment. We are sending out that particular RFP because we determined that there was confusion with the original one. There was confusing language and maybe regarding what is a paid work experiences and what does internship mean. So this would clarify to those organizations who may want to participate of what exactly this would entail. And so with that and other feedback we received, the Workforce Development Committee met August 28th and reviewed new language to clarify that and the intent and what is meant by paid work experience and internship, and we made some changes. At this time, the Port of Tacoma Contract Department feels that we should be able to reissue the RFP by the end of this week, which would allow a contract to be executed before the end of 2023. So the entity or consortium of entities selected can begin this work with a calendar year in January of 2024. The other major change to the RFP is the dollar amount. The committee has recommended rolling the additional money that was put into the Workforce Development Strategic Plan budget into this contract, which will make it a contract worth $175,000 a year, still with the possibility of a 3-year renewal.
Great, thank you. Any questions from commissioners? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. Just one question. In terms of this proposal that's going out, is that going just to educational institutions, or is this possible for small businesses to apply for this support? I'm thinking of our boat builders and the idea that they may need trainees on site. So I'm wondering, is it possible that, you know, and where I'm coming from is, I want to make certain that in our workforce development, it isn't just educational institutions. I want to make certain we support small businesses. To me, that's an integral part of what I've always perceived as one of the ultimate goals of the workforce development. So if you could enlighten me a little bit better relative to what's the intended audience.
Sure, we have Leslie.
Sure, for the record, Leslie Barstow, Community Relations and Workforce Development Manager for the Port. It is open to anyone who would like to bid on creating paid work experiences or internship experiences, so there is no limitation in that regard.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I think the other thing just to add, it has a focus on BIPOC communities and also women.
I did also want to add that Leslie and Sean has been doing some legwork and talked to organizations that usually would offer or take up these type of contracts to see, you know, what are, just to get a feedback about where we're going with this.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. I want to give a shout out to Leslie Barstow and Sean Egan for all the work that they're doing. I know Leslie has reached out to a lot of the different individual entities that we originally put out a grant proposal to and didn't bid on it. So she wanted to find out why they didn't bid. So thank you for that that work. And they took the feedback and then they redrafted that. So that's why it's coming back to us, or why it's going back out a little later than we anticipated. So thank you, Leslie, for all that work. Okay, so this brings us to item 10, which is issue briefings. And I'm under item A is the World Trade Center briefing annual update. And I'm going to call on Mike Fowler. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, just by way of introduction, Mr. Fowler is the local director of the Tacoma World Trade Center. For the benefit of folks who might be listening, the Port of Tacoma owns the license for the Tacoma World Trade Center. It's a global organization with a great brand, and they do a lot of work that he will explain. But The Port of Tacoma is actually the licensee for the World Trade Center, and so we have a contract with them. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Fowler.
Thank you, Eric. Commission President Keller and commissioners, thank you for giving us the opportunity to give you an update on our activities. Chamber President and CEO Andrea Ray couldn't be with us today because she's out of town on a conference. But our chair, David Graybill, is here today. Thank you for coming, David. Would you like to speak, David? Today, we'd like to start with looking at our training and events, and I'll share a few practical examples of the support to individual members that we've been offering. Sorry?
I think it's just feedback.
Feedback. That's me. And then we'll look at what's on the horizon. Here are some of the key activities that we've done since we last met. And I'll go into more detail on a couple of these slides later, but I'd like to highlight a few of these here. On February 7th and August 29th, we did our first podcasts. And if you've been to the chamber recently, you'll have noticed the podcast studio to the right coming out of the elevator. With the assistance of the Chamber, we've been able to use it for podcasts during which we interviewed Northwest Seaport Alliance staff on subjects of interest to the public, including the state of the supply chain and new port capabilities and the impact that this has had on everyday life here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm happy to say that these have been among the Chamber's more popular podcasts. And last I looked, the first podcast had over 1,000 listens. On February 8th, thanks to Luis Morris, our ambassador for Mexico and Latin America, we had a live interview Zoom broadcast with the Mexico former Secretary of the Economy. Madam Tatiana Clothier gave us excellent advice and resources for anyone looking to do trade with Mexico. Also, you may ask, why was there a Vietnam event down in Portland on May 17th when the ports that service that area are up here? Well, I asked the new Consul General the same question, and flanked by our World Trade Center Vietnam ambassador, he's not the US ambassador, but the Vietnam ambassador, I asked the Consul General the same thing, and he looked at his assistant, and his assistant looked back at me and said, we will be there next year. So you'll hear more about that. As you know, India, with its young population and rapidly growing economy, is poised to be the next trade powerhouse. With this event, we first introduced the services that we're able to offer through our partnership with Branta, which is a Tacoma-based company with offices in New Delhi and affiliates throughout the country. We next learned from Syed Jamal, our India World Trade Center ambassador, about some amazing art that's produced in a small rural village tucked up near Nepal, where they continue to make paper and paint the same way they have for centuries. We offered over 100 pieces for sale and dozens sold, and the World Trade Center took a commission. Unfortunately, they weren't priced like the Da Vinci's at Sotheby's, but it was nice to have a profitable event that was also informative. This was the joint event that we held with our counterpart World Trade Center in a large industrial park outside Ho Chi Minh City. Thank you, Commissioner McCarthy, for representing the Port of Tacoma with your presence on the big screen. At the industrial park, and elsewhere during the trade mission, we arranged for visits with several factories. In fact, one of our delegates was a specialty contract manufacturer who uses a network of 500 factories in China. And his firm, on account of the tariffs, needed to diversify his supply chain in order to maintain his business. We made half a dozen factory visits during the trade mission with the help of the chief commercial consul at the Vietnam Consulate General. And production at these facilities has already begun. Another delegate was Dean Merchant of the Milgard School of Business, who established relationships with three top universities with English language courses and even degree programs in English. Furthering cooperation for the benefit of our University of Washington Tacoma students and faculty will be a focus of this November's trade mission. Andrea Ray met her counterpart at the American Chamber of Commerce in Hanoi. He was among the contacts we made who later visited us here in Tacoma. He gave a lecture on consumer behavior in Vietnam to the Milgard School of Business. It was very entertaining. Another objective of the upcoming trade mission will be to present to and entice mid-level Vietnamese national executives of large U.S. manufacturers who have MBAs from overseas universities. We want them to come to the Milgard School of Business to update their business knowledge with certificate programs in cybersecurity, data analysis, blockchain, and the like. And the World Trade Center will handle business matchmaking during their visit. The photos on this page represent micro, small to medium, and large companies that we are assisting. To the left is a new product from a Tacoma micro company that produces a range of therapeutic teas, tinctures, and oils. These were developed by a young entrepreneur and graduate of the Pierce County Business Accelerator Program who studied Chinese traditional medicine. He's now selling his products in the US and Canada through Amazon. In fact, his first shipment just sold out, and he's sending his second. We're assisting him with importing product and expanding his distribution. The second two photos on the upper right represent a small but now moving quickly into the medium-sized category. With our help, it's now importing tens of thousands of units of packaging monthly as it expands distribution to retail chains and it opens more shops. We're now working to assist it with equipment imports, and exports are on the horizon. And finally, there is Costco. Despite delays due to the pandemic and some logistical issues that we've helped to overcome, with the help of our Vietnam ambassador, we expect first containers to ship from Sumner to Vietnam's top retail chain within the next 2 months. In addition to assisting members such as these, we've also given technical assistance on more than 60 occasions. Although the technical assistance doesn't require much of our time, it can make a difference to the client. A lot of it involves connecting them with already available resources that they're unaware of. These are plans that have either already been implemented or will be implemented in the coming months. The Trade Mastermind Group has already begun to meet. It's being run by yet another World Trade Center ambassador, a local gentleman. You may know that mastermind groups are a trusted group of peers who support each other. With ours, this relates to international business efforts through brainstorming, mutual assistance, the setting of goals, and holding each other accountable. They're surprisingly fun and effective. We're also starting our first foreign language classes. The first will be Chinese. 12 sessions will begin on October 2nd, and I hope to see all the commissioners there. And don't worry, I won't be teaching. It's a Pacific Lutheran University instructor. On October 5th, the World Trade Center will host the South Sound Film Commission informational meeting. Now, our role is to bring attention to the international film industry, to our potential for this service export, more specifically as a location for filmmaking. The film, When Beijing Met Seattle, was at the top of the charts in China several years ago, and it brought a lot of business to Seattle, but it was made in British Columbia. But now we have incentives here at the state of Washington, thanks to recent legislation, and we hope to take advantage of that. Finally, next month, while in East Asia for the Vietnam Trade Mission, we will be supporting the Economic Development Board in their business retention and investment promotion mission to Japan. That's my second hometown. The Vietnam Trade Mission this time will focus on supply chain diversification for manufacturers, education, services development, and assisting half a dozen young Tacoma entrepreneurs in establishing business relationships by investigating the establishment of a kind of friendship city relationship with Tacoma. Finally, this is a reminder that the Global Awards will be held next Thursday at the Port of Tacoma Administration Building. We sincerely thank you and the port executives for allowing us to hold the event in your offices. It's very helpful for fundraising. We hope that you can all make it. We guarantee a local winner demonstrating excellence in trade and a good time. In conclusion, throughout today's presentation, you will have noticed that there were many hands that go into the work that we do. Our ambassadors, our many partners, our chamber manager, but none of it would be possible without your support. On behalf of the World Trade Center and the Board of Directors, I'd like to thank you for your support, for supporting us in the work that we do. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Michael. Commissioners, comments? Commissioner Meyer and then Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you. Well, Mike, a good report. We thank do you. Appreciate hearing from you annually, if not more frequently. And but a couple of comments that I might have is I'm one of those persons that likes metrics. And it would be nice, I think, in the future, if possible, when you had that list of various events, that if you could maybe tell us the total number of individuals who participated, so we've got some sense about,
absolutely,
you know, tracking over time and how you're reaching out. The other thing is could you talk to us a little bit about, well, I also want to say thank you to the support of the people who volunteer on your board. David, thank you very much. And other members of the board for their contributions to help steer your organization. But can you talk to us a little bit about your financial situation?
Yes.
Please, thank you.
We are well in the black. We have a few to several months of operating reserves in the bank. And so we're, from that perspective, we're in very good shape compared to where we have been in the past.
And you're meeting your liabilities and whatever those liabilities have been in terms of carry forward?
We have no liabilities.
Oh, very good. Congratulations. I hand it to you. I applaud you and the board for your due diligence. Thank you.
The board was very important in that.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you, Michael. First of all, let me acknowledge David Grable. David, really nice to see you. Thank you for your work with this organization. And I know it goes back decades because, as David may recall, this particular building used to be called the World Trade Center. before it became the Fabulous Building, and it's because the Port of Tacoma has a licensed city of the World Trade Center, which started in about 1982, perhaps, maybe a year or two off, but a little bit later than that. I remember some work we were doing with the World Trade Centers back in 86, I think. But so it's been an important part of the history, and I'm happy that the port can continue to support the work that you do, because the work that you do does enhance and grow our fundamental mission to increase trade. So it's an important work. Glad you're doing it. Glad you've got people like David still involved in it. I've had the misfortune now of missing two opportunities to work with you in Vietnam, but and Vietnam is a place I love, and I love the prospects for trade there, which certainly have enhanced in a lot in recent years, although I was kind of unhappy to hear in discussions recently with one of the people that you and I both know that does a lot of business in Vietnam, who has just been there recently and expressed that there's kind of an economic downturn occurring there now. And so that's going to turn around, as has China, of course, but that will turn around. So your work in Vietnam is very important work. I was happy to participate virtually on the big screen and in the middle of the night and didn't give an hour or so presentation and take some questions and comments for a couple hours. So I think a couple things that, as you may or may not know, the Northwest Seaport Alliance, you know, is looking at a trade-specific, perhaps customer-type visits to Vietnam. I don't know if it's sometime next year. I don't know if the World Trade Center could fit into part of that visit or in conjunction with that visit. So that's one thing that we might want to talk about to kind of coordinate our efforts. Another thought I had was, I don't know if you know Felicity Wong, who's very active in People's Republic of China and is the president of an Asian Pacific tour group. She has organized in the past several exchanges with parts of China. And I just spoke to her last week, and she was actually at the Asia Pacific Cultural Center event we just participated in. But I've been talking to her for about a year now. She worked, I know, with Commissioner Petrich for a long time, but she was telling me that her organization, because next year, or year is the 74th, or this year is the 74th anniversary of the creation of the People's Republic of China in 1949, they are working on a trade cultural slash other visit to perhaps Kaohsiung, which is our sister port, and she knows I was involved in the creation of that sister port arrangement 32 years ago. And so she wants to do something to assist in commemorating that. And those of you that may or may not know, I think that and Dick Marzano was involved in this when we attracted Evergreen Line and back in 1991. And we did that about a year after we created that sister port arrangement in Kaohsiung. In any case, she's active and in Taiwan and wants to engage in an effort there sometime next year. And she wants to do that in conjunction, I think, with Fuzhou, China. So it would be going from the People's Republic to China, which of course right now it might be a little bit of a difficult travel experience, may or may not be, but we'll see how things go. But she is working on something in both Kaohsiung and Fuzhou, that's trade relation. So maybe that's something, I don't know if she's talked to you about that yet or not. But
I have spoken to Felicity in the past, not of recent. But I will touch base with her.
I'm actually talking with her again next week and like to keep you in the loop with regard to that. Anyway, thanks for all your work. There's lots more work to do, and you know, we take these small steps that lead to some big results.
Thank you, Commissioner. One interesting development, and I will talk about this in a future newsletter, but with the tariffs, there's been a change in the pattern of trade worldwide, and what seems to be happening is that a lot of components from China are going to periphery economies like Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and the like, and then coming to the West. Mm-hmm. And so there's a change in pattern, but still we are relying, China is the primary producer of goods. And in time, it's possible that some of these second stage countries will develop their own production bases on the periphery of China. But things are changing because those tariffs are still in place.
Commissioner Marzano, then Commissioner Hayes.
Well, yeah, just very quickly, I really have no question, just a comment. Michael, I want to thank you very much for your presentation. I like the fact when you give us examples about young entrepreneurs that are able to start and with the assistance of the World Trade Center, being able to get into the various markets that they may not be able to. And I appreciate that. And one of the things that you addressed that Commissioner Meyer brought up was the financial whereabouts. And that's, if you look back, it wasn't too long ago where we were trying to wonder, is the World Trade Center even going to exist? Right. But it's through hard leadership and work by David and you and other people that have really not only turned the corner, but are down that highway even further. And I just want to thank you for all the time and devotion that you have put into this.
Now that we are on sound footing, our effort will be to improve services and expand within our limitations, more offerings and better offerings. So now that we are in financial sound position.
Commissioner Ray.
I'll echo also that, thank you, Michael and the World Trade Center for empowering the small businesses that are here in Tacoma Pierce County, as well as connecting us with Vietnam, the emerging market. But I was also curious, the one that I heard of, another market, is India, because we removed the steel tariffs, I believe, and now they removed the Apple tariff. So we have that $100 million opportunity. But what other opportunities do we have, particularly with India, and if there are any other webinars or connections coming up for us between our area, our region, and India?
We are running into a lot of smaller companies because we sit right there on the floor with the chamber and the Pierce County Business Accelerator folks sometimes are introduced by chamber staff. Hey, Mike, you really need to meet this person. And so that's really a wonderful advantage that we enjoy. But also with regard to India, we have a very capable India ambassador, in Syed Jamal, with people on the ground in India, and he's willing to help us to help local companies. So if you have any particular contacts that you want to introduce, I'd be happy to make an introduction.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all you do. I know all of us from time to time run into small business owners, and a lot of them seek to want to export, but they don't know the right process to go. So we will certainly refer them to you so that they can be introduced to international customers. So thanks for the great work that you do. Thank you, David, also as well.
And today, with a cell phone, you can do international business, mm-hmm. where before it was very complicated.
That's true. Thank you so much for
all
your work. Thank
you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Executive Director Johnson.
Yeah, we're going to follow that with our final issue briefing of the day, which is from Aaron Delano, our Chief Administrative and Finance Officer. We're going to give you the, we're in budget season. We're just getting into budget season, and Aaron's going to go over some of our preliminary priorities in the capital investment plan. This is we're not asking you to make any decisions today. This is just giving you the benefit of our initial thinking so that you can kind of set the table for the decisions that we'll be bringing forward in the next month or two, get some feedback from you that we can build into subsequent briefings. So, Aaron.
Terrific. So, good afternoon, Aaron Galino, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. And I think I'm hitting cleanup today. And again, as Eric mentioned, we're kicking off, well, to the public and to you, we're kicking off budget season. I think we actually started sometime in June. So the budget season keeps kind of overlapping itself. But this is really as we start talking about what's upcoming, and especially, you know, for the public. We're here today. You have received the details around our draft capital investment plan for the next 5 years. And something that's always really important to remind the public is that our capital investment plan will fold into our overall plan of finance when I come back later this year and we have that conversation. But it is a plan that each individual item comes forward with authorization. So there isn't a blanket authorization for funding from you during this process. So we do get more bites at the apple as we think about our capital investment plan. We are awaiting our letter from the county on the property tax assessment. And so once we have that information, we anticipate by next week, then we'll be providing that to you. Again, I think in the past, we've provided options and you as a commission decide how to implement the tax levy component. And again, that will come forward in the study session. Important part of this with the Northwest Seaport Alliance, again, it being a joint venture of the two home ports, the NWSA is building its budget. They have their study session. They do that before the two home ports have their budget study session. Then you come back as managing members to approve the Northwest Seaport Alliance budget before we approve ours. And that's because the 50% income comes back to the home ports, and that's that integrated process. Also, as part of that, the service agreements come forward where we, the home ports, and in some cases, Northwest Seaport Alliance, are providing services to each other. And what I can tell you is we didn't have any significant changes in the methodology of how we're looking at charging for services. So I think some of that will be pretty straightforward this year. So that's a little bit about the budget. So the next time you will see me, it will be November 2nd in terms of this conversation. That's okay. So we just have an intro slide on just a ground set on where we are from our outstanding debt that we were gonna show. So I'll go a little bit through. Now each of you has received, and it was posted on the website, the details around our current forecasting. And as you can see, we're looking at for next year, we're forecasting around $100 million in terms of our capital investment plan. And I know if you look at our financials each month, our ability to consume that each year, we tend to run significantly under what we forecast each year. But what we try to do is put forward what do we think is really the key elements in terms of each of the coming years. And as I think about next year, there's some significant items around the Port Maritime Center, around Thorn Road. We continue to budget additional funds for capital acquisitions to have that as a placeholder from an investment perspective. So this was just kind of a ground set in terms of some of the areas that we're, you know, anticipating. And again, when I come back for the budget study session, we'll have a more in-depth conversation about grant funding, affordability, our debt capacity. Those will all be really, I think they'll come into focus when we have the study session. This is really to give you guys kind of an early digest of some of the projects that the staff are putting forward based on the activities, whether it's preservation of assets or new projects that are moving forward. And I'm just gonna give you, this is a highlight through our investment decision-making process. We highlight, we have a nicely structured process where across the port, we put forward different investment opportunities and vet them to a level that then we decide whether or not they make, you know, they make it into the budget. And much of this is really tied off of the, you know, tying back to our strategic plan when you think about, like I said, preserving, you know, our port assets. And, you know, one of the things I'll highlight that I'm sure we'll have more conversations about, that we have budgeted some significant dollars in next couple of years around reinvesting in the Port Administration Building. And several years ago, we made an investment of critical repairs, fixed the roof, fixed the bathrooms, fixed the carpet. We knew there were some other significant repairs that we were on watch for, that as we determined what the future of that building was, that we would come back. And now is that time. We're moving forward with the Port Maritime Center, but we also identify a future use for the Port Administration Building as an office building, both for whether it's Northwest Seaport Alliance operations, some of the port operations, the satellite office. Eric has even identified there's third parties that may be interested in leasing that space. So what we've done is we've really done a kind of in-depth analysis of what are the other key elements that would need to be addressed to really preserve that building for the next, you know, 10, 20 years. And so that's what you'll see in the budget. And again, these are things that, you know, they don't move forward until we come forward for an individual authorization on those projects. Helen's doing her magic back there. Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Sorry.
Again, this is, we're not going to get into an in-depth conversation about funding or debt capacity, but I think it's always important to remind ourselves and the public what is our outstanding debt. And as of the end of July, effectively we have commercial payable capacity. We don't actually have any outstanding right now, but our general obligation bonds and revenue bonds are primary sources of debt, and we continue to pay down on that. And like I said, when we come to the study session and we talk about the things, our plan of finance, our next 5 years, the capital investments, you know, the thoughts around potential additional capital or land acquisitions, we'll talk a little bit about what is our borrowing capacity and again, some guidance from you. Thank you, Helen. That's okay. So I ran through, like I said, the capital investment plan is really in that draft state. What we're doing now this week is really trying to kind of, for plan purposes, kind of lock that down. Again, it's a very dynamic component in terms of after the budget and as we get into next year. We know sometimes projects shift, things will surface we hadn't anticipated, that we, again, we bring those forward based on the authorized delegations. So then I wanted to cover, and I did this last year, with the strategic plan, it's given staff the opportunity to really have more guidance around where are the priorities in terms of where we want to budget dollars. And this is not an all-inclusive list, but what we wanted to bring forward is, as we think about how we're building the budget that we'll bring forward for the study session, here are some of the key areas of priorities by foundational goal. And again, we talked about land acquisitions in terms of economic viability, continuing when we think about Thorn Road and some of the other properties, growing the opportunity for the Northwest Seaport Alliance to grow. We had just great success with our port interns this year, and we talked earlier about workforce development. We're going to continue to see funding in the budget for those types of programs. And then I mentioned the port admin building, and there's other areas like the Early Business Center, where we think about maintenance and repair to port assets, where we're going to bring forward recommendations around funding or reinvestment that really fits into this key goal. And then around environmental leadership, you know, we've seen things, and you'll see things in CIP around electrification. Stormwater infrastructure is a very significant area. Again, investments around remediating contaminated property, especially those that we can put back into productive use, and again, continued habitat mitigation. And then organizational success, the Port Maritime Center, and these are things that's, you know, it's exciting. We see these on our agendas for these meetings, you know, month after month. We talked about it or put out on our DEI efforts, and again, we're, you know, we've sought third-party resources to help us because we're a small organization, and the feedback they gave us, which I just truly appreciate, is that they knew that we were taking this seriously when we said we're going out for a resource, and we know it's going to take us at least 2 to 3 years to embed it in the organization to really bring it to the point where we can be self-sufficient. We internships, just the last meeting, you approved the funding for the implementation of the Next Gen project. That's a significant funding, but critical to keep our technology assets where they need to be. We have some funding and some resources around addressing homeless encampments on port property. And also, we mentioned a little bit about building safety and the early business center. And then under transportation advocacy, again, we've got some, you know, kind of the big hitters there as we think about our infrastructure improvements that will really help us with, you know, debottlenecking our gateway. And then the last foundational goal really are continuing many of the things that we've started. And one of the things here that I think we really, with Elisa's leadership and some of the things that happened around the port this last year, is how do we reinvest in tabletop exercise to really ensure that we're prepared to handle any kind of significant marine incident. So that's an area that you'll see when I bring forward the budget, that we have some funding for those activities. So that is really kind of quick and a high level of the things that we're looking at. I'll stop there and see if there's, you know, questions, comments, things that we can bring back that as we prepare for the study session that we'll have for you in November.
Commissioners? Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And I know this is the first run at this, and I think you're looking for comments from us as to perhaps things that we'd like to see in the study session. So I've got a couple of things. One is our CIP, David Morrison of the Alliance this year put together in his SIP presentation some data on the accuracy of our CIP budgets, because they turn out not to be very accurate, I guess. That's my generalization, but in some areas they're particularly not accurate. And so he gave us some data as to what the accuracy has been. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, he gave us, he's utilizing a new technique in reporting 5-year strategic spending on major projects, just design, instead of having a full number that turns out being bumped down the road several years. So I'd like to see some accuracy data if you could, and I'd like your thoughts on whether we could or should include within the SIP really design things to give us a more accurate amount as to what we're going to spend. That's my first thing. So.
Okay, terrific, thanks.
Second thing is HMT funding eligible projects. And last year, I know we adopted a budget. It included us receiving harbor maintenance tax of about $21 million, pulling a number out of my brain, which is dangerous, but about, I think, $21 million. And then I know we asked the question during the year, well, since we're not going to get the HMT funding, and despite the fact that Senator Murray thought that she might be, I'm not hearing any money coming. So I'd like some information on which of these capital improvement projects are HMT eligible, and whether and what effect, if any, if HMT funding still doesn't. So I want a special category of HMT, like I requested last year, just in case it doesn't occur. We don't receive that. So that's a second issue. Third issue is this building. You know, the projected costs, and you know, my feeling all along is not this building, but I mean, the administrative building, not to spend a lot of money as we're building, hopefully, a new building, which is obviously taking longer than we anticipated. And I recognize that there was maintenance items that need to be completed here. Kept asking the question, are we throwing money into a structure that we're going to end up destroying or not utilizing? So what I'm hearing today, and Eric mentioned it to me the other day, is kind of a new sense that, yeah, we're going to be spending quite a bit more money in the administrative building, but yeah, we're going to have a long-term use for it. Which brings to my mind the whole issue of road vacation. You know, we're undertaking road vacations on some of these roads that now go to the administrative building, and we've set that as a priority, and we're developing strategies to create a transportation system and vacate roads. So in that discussion, if we decide that we are going to continue to invest substantial more money in the administrative building, I need that conversation tied together with road vacation, which brings my other issue related to that, and I've been asking for and calling for a specific transportation project plan for the tide flat that we can advocate. And I still would like to see some early work on that or whatever it would take to get that going. And then the final thing I want to say is I appreciate you providing the information as to the port debt. You know, we're in debt about $521 million, substantial sum of money. That's kind of important for folks to understand, because we're a public entity. We have obligation. We don't make a profit, and we have big debt. And some of that debt was, or a large part of that debt was developed by a decision to move forward in creating Terminal that didn't come about several years ago. But my point on the debt is, I think there's some misconception. We're not a shipping line, and we've seen shipping lines make a ton of money a couple of years ago during the pandemic, billions of dollars, and which has been very frustrating for everyone else in the port industry and the shipping industry and customers. And has drawn the attention and ear of the Federal Maritime Commission looking at new legislation, et cetera. But it's good that we, out front in public talk about the debt we have, because we don't have those big years where we make a boatload of money. We have constant obligation, all of it devoted to creating economic development and jobs in the tide flat. But without the ability to have these short-term major windfalls that we saw some of those shipping lines. So we're not a terminal operator, we're not a shipping line, we're a public port trying to get projects developed which have some long-term debt. So that's a distinction I think we forget about a lot, and so I appreciate seeing that information. So that's my short list.
Thank you, Commissioner McCarthy. Other commissioners? Commissioner Hay.
Just clarification on transportation advocacy. First of all, I thought the port, this is for transportation advocacy for funding, not necessarily us on Highway 67, because I thought we've already contributed to Highway 167. Plus, we also are selling some credits, mitigation credits to transportation, WashDOT. So I was curious, are we setting aside more money for 167? I thought we already did. And then the other one was, are we advocating for funding to somebody to do the tide, for somebody to fund this tide flats rail study, or is that funding coming from us?
Got it. So, and I'm gonna let Sean add some color to this one, but from a funding perspective, we have committed our portion, and a component of our portion was in kind with property.
Okay.
And just to elaborate a little bit on the 167, under the original memorandum of understanding, the port committed to $30 million for that project. You have entered into a series of interlocal agreements to make various financial and in-kind contribution towards that $30 million, but you have not completed the full $30 million obligation. So what we are anticipating is development of a final interlocal agreement to basically pay off that balance that in theory would be brought forward to you in 2024, so during that budget year. I would note that you previously have adopted a resolution recognizing that full $30 million. And by doing that, this is where Aaron will correct me because I'm not an accountant, but essentially you recognize that expense in that obligation and you took the hit on your P&L statement. So now it's just essentially doing the instrument to actually provide that final transmission of the final cash balance. And that again is something that we would bring forward for your consideration in 2024. Hopefully, yeah. I didn't get that too wrong.
You'd be great.
Okay, got it. And then I guess we are the one funding the Tide Flats rail study, or is this for us to advocate for money for that?
Are we funding that, or are we jointly funding that with the NWSA? Okay, I will have to follow up on that.
Oh, and then I guess the early business center stabilization. Yeah. This is just so that we maintain our current tenants and the safety of that particular building, not necessarily the early business master plan or anything towards that, because we haven't quite decided.
And I think that will evolve in next year.
Okay.
Commissioner Marzano.
Thank you for bringing this all forward. One of the things I think people need to understand that maybe be viewing this is that everything that you bring forward doesn't mean it's a done deal. That yeah. It's brought forth as an overall picture. The commission makes decisions based on individual projects, and we look at the pros and the cons. It would be nice if we were all armchair quarterbacks after the game to tell what happened wrong, but we can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we can keep bringing it up, but it doesn't solve the problem. I just like the fact that you gave us a lot to look at, you're gonna give us a lot more to look at, and we're gonna make those decisions individually.
Terrific, thank you.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you very much. Just a couple of comments. Thank you for getting us into this budget calendar stuff. Nobody really likes to do budgets, but it's an integral part of policymaking for us. And so I appreciate you coming here and talking a little bit with us. But let me provide a couple of comments here. I really do like that there were some references in terms of transportation. And I hope that in our capital budgeting process that we're clear on strategies in three areas, mm-hmm. roads, rails, and bridges, because that to me is integral for us as a home port of Port of Tacoma. We've got to be really clear about strategies in each of those components. And I hope that as we go through the budgeting process, Aaron, that we've got that concentration to really mm-hmm. understand it and taking strategies one step further. I do appreciate you pointing out the early business center. I'm very frustrated about that whole process. And where you say funds to address building safety and stabilization at early business center. And I reflect back on the tours we took in the small businesses that I think we all have had. The one thing that I remember very significantly, each one of them talked about water access. Now, I know we've had a design that blown way out of proportion in terms of what we could afford. I think what's missing in the early business center is we haven't had a good enough conversation around priorities and water access and how do you phase it. Mm-hmm. Because we've got all these other priorities we keep talking about, but I really think that when I think about the early business center, what we need to think about is, can you phase it? Whatever that phasing is. And I will tell you, I have a priority on water access because those businesses said we could grow if we had water access. No, I'm not talking about a real sophisticated, permanent pier structure, but those are things I'm going to be looking for in the capital improvement program. And the final comment I have is I appreciate Commissioner McCarthy's reference to the harbor maintenance tax funds, because the one problem I have with harbor maintenance tax funds, besides all the restrictions, but help me understand, at least as I remember, when you look at our income statement, the problem we have is when we receive these funds, it has a tendency to say it all goes to your bottom line. Therefore, it inflates your overall net profit number. When the reality is it's acting as a subsidy to us to make us, you know, compensate for what otherwise the Canadian government, federal government, is subsidizing the ports that are competing with us here in Puget Sound. So I hope that some way, as you go through the operating budget, that we constantly remind ourselves that some of that net profit number that people, if you didn't know, it really is not an operating result. It is a subsidy result. And I think that's where people really get confused about what's really happening and how the numbers flow through our P&L. Mm-hmm. The more that we can understand that better, our ability to describe it to the public, and even to our own employees, I believe, is very crucial at this stage of the game. So I'll be looking forward to that, Aaron, and I hope to have a vigorous budgeting process. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. I have a question and a couple of comments to piggyback on Commissioner McCarthy and Commissioner Meyer. But first question is service agreements. You mentioned that the nature of the service agreements are not going to change. Mm-hmm. Are there any service agreements that are going to be dropping off that the Northwest Seaport Alliance is going to be taking on, which would give us less money in the budget?
Relative to the home port of Tacoma?
Correct.
None that I'm aware of. We have a couple of tweaks, but we didn't have any major adjustments between the home port of Tacoma and the NWSA.
Okay, I just wanted to check because I know each year it tends to become more and more separated, which is less income from that. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, it might be helpful with regard to the harbor maintenance tax that we put that aside as a separate page or something and have, you know, it becomes a wish list. Then if we get this money, it would be nice. And here are the items that could be potentially used for that. I think it would be beneficial for commissioners. It would be beneficial for me. Mm-hmm. And then if you put it off to the side and we don't get it, then we know we're not going to do that, or we have to find another way to do that. The other thing is we did a really great study on the Early Business Center. I really enjoyed that. I'd love to be able to follow up on that and maybe bring a consultant back, maybe put some monies into this so we can continue to study and not let that drop off, because as Commissioner Meyer said, that's incredibly important. And then I also wanted to follow up on what Commissioner McCarthy talked about when you talk about, and I had a for-profit business, and at the end of the year, you choose to either reinvest your dollars or you divide it up amongst your employees and you give them to your employees. And this is a governmental organization designed to redevelop and invest in everything on this the capital improvement plan. We can't fund all of them, and so it's way more money than we make, and we have to, if they're really important, we have to do it by grants, mm-hmm. or other things drop off the page. So it's really important for our public to understand that we reinvest back into our community that way so that we can continue to grow. So, and that's just a statement on that, but anything else for anyone else? Thank you so much.
Okay.
Great presentation as always.
Thank
Aaron.
You.
Okay, this brings us to commissioner comments. Who would like to start? Has a comment? Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, I'll start. That's no problem. Eric made a comment in with regard to the memorial for Ralph, and you know, they had a program there, and this gives you an idea how Ralph was and what he did. He was a very quiet individual, and I think most of us that were in executive session with him can remember if Ralph said something that didn't sound like Ralph, we kind of look at each other and say, did Ralph just say that? You know, because we weren't too sure. But there was a picture of him because he volunteered his time without being asked for so many different organizations, different things. but he's in there cleaning up when they had Tacoma clean up with the port and stuff, in his jacket and tie. You can see him with his hip boots and raking. It just typified what Ralph says. And I want people to realize how great of an employee and just a great person he really was. We honored Lewis, well deserved today. Another employee, Sarah Weeks, is leaving at the end of the month. She will be sorely missed. But it's employees like that that help reflect what the Port of Tacoma stands for. And I just wanted to recognize that out there and talk to and thank all the employees right now for the Port of Tacoma. That's all.
Other comments, commissioners? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. I did appreciate Commissioner Kelly, your comments about when we get into a public comment period, we can't really provide that feedback. But I would have to say that, Eric, I hope we can find a pathway forward here that can find a resolution for the comments that we received today. And I won't get into it any further than that, but I'm hoping and expecting that we can get that resolved. Thank you.
Commissioner Ng.
I did want to thank again Lewis Cooper for all his work at the Port of Tacoma, and also thank Sarah Weeks for the monumental and impactful work that she has done for the environment and our real estate here at the Port of Tacoma and for our community. I did also want to say that we do listen to everyone who does public comments today and every commission, as well as read every letter, and we take it to heart. I'd also like to add, in terms of our other comments, in terms of getting things forward, like the early business center, we also did, I guess it affects both Port of Tacoma and Seaport Alliance, a transportation study that we put a lot of effort into, and we do need a strategy, an advocacy strategy, to get some investments, and particularly since we are putting so much funding and time in redeveloping these properties in terms of early business center, as well as the maritime center, and growing our marine cargo business. It's now time to advocate for the roads. As a Commissioner Meyer likes to say, roads, rails, and bridges. So shall we expand bridges? Shall we have a Lincoln Loop? I remember that whole study, and we debated it, we discussed it, we took a lot of time, and Christine Wolf, and also congratulations to Christine Wolf and her work. And people gave all their best work, and now it's time for us to do something with their work. So that's just my comment on that.
Thank you. I also would like to echo some of those comments. I mean, it's always sad for people to retire, but you're happy for them, you know, because they get to move on with a new life and get to spend more time with their family, and it's great. I think that when we get to a place where we have employees leaving, I'm sure that we do exit interviews with them, and it would be probably very beneficial for our DEI work group to be able to take a look at the nature of those, so that if there are some elements within people having to leave or wanting to leave for certain reasons, that they can take that into account. It could just be because they get more money somewhere else, but you never know if there's something going on within the organization that we need to address, and it would be great to follow up on that. So, but I know that I also want to show great appreciation for the staff that we have here in place. Sometimes we don't tell you often enough, and we want you to stay here, right?
Yes. So,
and thank you for all you do. But well, with no further business before the commission, the time is 1:50, and we are adjourned.